Hey, welcome to Breitbart News Daily. Thanks for being here. Here is our opening about Donald Trump. And I think the 10 listener poll is right, but it doesn't change how I'm proceeding here because they're two different polls. The poll is very different than what I start the segment off with. Here it is. So I like to be an optimistic guy, an optimistic fella. Don't rain on my parade. Oh, that sounded like I was gonna say I like to be optimistic, but I'm going to rain on the parade. No. I like to be optimistic, and I'm going to be optimistic. Don't you come raining on this parade. I am going to act because why not? You know? I can't think of a reason why not to act this way. I'm making it up either way. Who knows? We don't know yet. So we might as well pretend like it is so until we know one way or the other. I'm going to act like Donald Trump is going to win New York. And I'm just going to go with it. Again, you could be like, oh, that's ridiculous. Okay, fine. We'll chat on March or November 5th. Right, but for and don't do this. Oh, Slater, this means now you're going to take it for granted and not work hard in New York. Whatever. No. That has nothing to do with it. I'm going to act like Trump is going to win New York. Presidents always win their home states, right? And that's part of the deal. So why is Trump winning his home state so out of the question? So we could chat some numbers. In 2022, where there was supposed to be that red wave. That didn't happen. Kathy Hochul won the governor's race in New York over Lee Zeldin, 53-47, 6 points. It's a sizable win, but that's not insurmountable. That was Lee Zeldin, right? I think Trump can make up 6 points. So I'm going all in on New York. New York's just like any other state. It's 8 million people in New York City. But there's 12 million people in the rest of the state. That's where I grew up. I consider my hometown Syracuse, New York. Cuse is in the house, all right? I was at the St. Louis barbecue place, Pappy's, a couple weeks ago. Every email I got said, you got to go to Pappy's. And that was a fantastic recommendation. It was fantastic. Pappy's barbecue. So I'm sitting in Pappy's, and this guy walks in wearing a Syracuse t-shirt. Walked right by me. I said, Cuse is in the house. And the guy's like, yeah. And I said, you know, this ain't no dinosaur barbecue. You know what I mean? That's the famous barbecue place in Syracuse. This ain't no dinosaur barbecue. And he's like, yeah, no, what could be? And I'm like, I know. And that was our exchange. Pappy's was way better than dinosaur barbecue. But, you know, whatever. We had the hometown thing going, you know? I will dig deep into my upstate roots, central New York roots, salt potatoes, New York State Fair, Carrier Dome. I'm in. Don't come at me calling them the Syracuse Mets. They're the Syracuse Chiefs, darn it. Syracuse Mets. Kind of ridiculous. They changed it. When I was growing up, it was the Chiefs, and then that was racist. So they changed it to the Sky Chiefs, like we were an airplane or something. I don't know. And then I guess recently they changed it to the Mets. That's so lame. AAA baseball team should have wacky names. And they just went with the name of the thing that the farm team of. So no, we're not calling you the Syracuse. Listen, I got a lot of problems with Syracuse too. Don't get me wrong. But that's my hometown, man. And it's Trump town. It's Trump territory. The number one radio station growing up was the B104, the country station. New York is country. Just like every other state. I grew up with the dairy farms and apple orchards and On Your Honor farm stands. I was there on vacation last summer. Went back to visit and down the street from where we stayed was the On Your Honor maple syrup stands, which is a high risk because maple syrup's a lot more expensive than corn. But they had giant jugs of maple syrup and just put your money in the little Folgers can. Zach, what's your problem with Q's in the house? Are we not?
It's just so wacky.
Q's.
Like, if little... I was in the next booth over and just see two guys be like, Q's is in the house, I'd be like, they're nuts.
It is a little zany. It goes back to when Carmelo Anthony won the national championships for Syracuse. I believe it was 2003, maybe. That was the rap. They came up with a Q's in the house. Q's in the house of rap. Listen, we don't got a lot to hang our hat on. You know what I mean? You gotta keep with it. But I'm saying upstate is rolling hills and farmland and country people, and there's more of that than there is of New York City. Trump should win New York. I introduced my wife to salt potatoes last summer. And I was like, oh, wait till you have salt potatoes. She's like, what's a salt potato? I was like, oh, no, just wait. And then we made the salt potatoes. And she's like, I think these are just potatoes with a lot of salt on them. It's like, that's pretty much it, yeah. That's our thing. That's the series. It's just, like, at least you weirdos in Cincinnati, you put chili on pasta. That's a little more, it's like, than like salt potatoes. Like, that's literally just a potato with salt. Trump should win New York. And I bring this up because we're gonna have some help from New Yorkers themselves. It's not as much country city as it's always been, because people in New York seeing their city go to pot. We're gonna talk to another New York City councilwoman coming up at 8:30 today. We talked last week or so about the guy who owns that bodega in Harlem. Remember, the previous owner was attacked, and he stabbed the guy who attacked him. And they sent him to Rikers. But the new owner said he's never voted before. He's an immigrant from, I think, Yemen. Was Yemen in the Muslim ban? Whatever, he's from Yemen. And he's like, I've never voted before. I've always been working. But of course I'm going to vote for Trump this go around. And then here are some construction guys, some union guys, some real New Yorkers, who I haven't seen of a lot, honestly. I don't know where these guys were during COVID. I don't know where these guys were saying, what are you talking about? Stay home, wear masks, get out of here. So we got some real New Yorkers here. I think the image of New York isn't New Yorkers. I think when people think New York, I think they think, well, they don't think these guys anymore. So before Trump's trial yesterday, there's a bunch of union guys out front.
A lot of people are talking about how unusual it is to see so many Trump supporters in Manhattan at 4, 5, 6 in the morning. Does that surprise you?
No, absolutely not. Demographics have changed. The administration that's in there right now isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not taking care of American people. So we need somebody in there to take care of American people. That's it.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
Joe Biden, give it up.
You got this fella as well.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
You.
Whoa. I can't. Jeez. I know it's satellite radio, but come on, man. So listen, here's the deal. You can show me the election results on November 5th, and that's great. And Trump loses by 10 points or whatever. And you can play this segment back to me. Go ahead, save this segment, play it back to me and say, wow, Slater, you're way off. I can't believe you. You're such an idiot. And that's fine. I, from this moment forward, am going to act like Trump is going to win New York. And this trial is going to help make it happen. Here's Trump outside the courtroom.
Mr. President, there's a new poll out that shows you're in 10 points of possibly, you're 10 points behind President Biden in New York. Do you think it's doable to win New York?
We're very close in New York, I understand, and we're leading in the country by a lot. Poll just came out a little while ago, as you saw yesterday, that we're up in every swing state and up by a lot in every swing state. So I think we're going to do very well, and we're going to make a play for New York. They said, I just heard, there was a very good poll came out. Normally, a Democrat will win New York. Biden is the worst president in history, and we have some very bad people here, but we have the greatest people, and they're right behind me. And they all want us to run, and we're gonna run very hard in New York. New York, we have a good chance of winning New York, in my opinion, but we're going to give it a shot. Oh, I have no idea. They've taken my constitutional right away with a gag order. That's all it is. It's election interference. This whole thing is election interference. So the polls have just come out, and I just got another sample. We're leading every swing state by a lot, and we're leading the nation by a lot. He's the worst president in the history of our country. He makes Jimmy Carter look great. Jimmy Carter is very happy because his presidency was brilliant by comparison. But this is the worst president we've ever had. He's destroying our country. Close the borders. You can do it in one phone call. You can close the borders. Close up the borders, Joe. Our country's going to hell.
And he turns around a little bit later. There we go. The people love him. Here is the manager of the Steam Fitters Union.
In the past, we are basically Democrats, all of us. And after what's happened the last 4 years in this country, Democrats are basically pushing everybody to the other side. We're a very patriotic group, and we love our country, and we want the best for America. We are tired of immigration. We're tired of our tax dollars going to immigration. We're tired of the crime. We need to put a handle on things in this country and bring it back to how it should be.
I put out a poll in my union. President Trump is leading Joe Biden 3-1 on my presidential poll out of my 9,000 members right now. We are very tired of the situation with groceries, inflation, gas prices, illegal immigration, crime. We're living it every day in New York City.
Yeah, that's about it, right? What was the list? This is it.
The situation with groceries.
Inflation,
gas prices, gas. Illegal immigration, crime.
I mean, that's okay. Yeah, that's it. They'll do it. The average steam fitter's union salary, according to a quick internet search, $60,000 a year. That's what you're making in the steam fitter's union, plus or minus, $60,000. Any steam fitters listening now want to educate me as to what steam fitters do exactly? All I can do is sit back and marvel at the fact that you can be in a building. Let's say you're in New York City. You can be in a 100-story building. You can be on the 100th floor. And you turn on, you turn the faucet on a sink. And water shoots out of it right away. Hot water even, if you want it. Instantly, right there. Boom, you turn it. And you turn it around, and that's it. How is that possible? Just last week, the kids were asking me how water gets to the house. And I gave an answer that was barely acceptable to a 4, 6, and 7-year-old because I have no idea, really. How does water get to the house? I don't know. And let alone how does water get to at the top of a 100-story building? I'm like, a machine shoots it up some pipes. I don't know. But it works every time because these guys build it and no one cares. Could you imagine if you put together, you were part of building a 100-story building and you, like a wizard, like a magician, you somehow make it so water can shoot up to the 100th story and no one cares. Like, don't you know what I just did? Do you know what I made happen for you? You can take a shower now. You could be flying in the sky. You're 1,000 feet in the air. And you can turn on the shower because of me. And no one even thinks about it. I don't even know what steam fitters do. And we pay him $60,000 a year. We tell him to pipe down and, oh, there's your pun. Didn't mean to. And vote Democrat forever. And don't ask any questions. Do what you're told. Vote for the D. And then one of the greatest real estate moguls in New York history runs for president. How is every union member in New York City not voting for the America First guy? The America First guy who spent his career building buildings. Who can tell you exactly what steam fitters do? Let's go to Frank, who's in New York. What's up, Frank?
Good morning. You are right on the money as far as saying New York is going to go for Trump. And asking, you shall receive. I work with steam fitters. So
all right, there you
what
go.
They do a lot of heavy piping. If they pipe in these gigantic boilers in the city of New York, sprinkler systems throughout fire suppression systems. So they have to cut pipe, thread pipe, and make the attachments to whatever they have to do. But I'll take it one more further. I think Trump's going to win, sweep the entire nation. What you see here, and you don't hear it from the people except for yesterday when the president went out to the crowd of hard hat workers, the mainstream media doesn't really pick that up about regular working American schlubs who have had enough of the prices. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay.
The inflation, the gas prices, and how much it costs us every day. And the media is telling you, oh, this is better. No, it's not. No, it's not. Everything revolved around fuel. And when fuel went up, all the other prices went up. Everybody had to charge more. So once we get gasoline under control again and get rid of this nonsense of electric cars, I mean, electric cars have a place in society, but not what they think it's at. You'd blow up the grid.
Yeah, of course. Where are you in New York?
Queens. New York.
What about the people around you, your neighbors, your neighborhood?
Oh, absolutely, but they're quiet. They're quiet. You know that down deep inside, they got a Trump flag hanging inside their garage. Okay? I think, Mike, listen, you got a great program. I listen to you every day. You should do one of those. Last week, you did an unscientific poll. Have people call in and see how many people from New York will vote for Trump.
Okay, first of all, how dare you call it unscientific? It is the most scientific. It's more scientific than most of the nonsense coming out of our colleges these days. So it is as scientific as you get, but I will forgive that.
I'm sorry. I'm not one of those overeducated idiots.
That's right. Forgive it. Yeah, listen, I'm always down for a 10 listener poll. All right, let's do it. Frank, I appreciate the call.
Have a good day.
You too, bro. We'll do a 10 listener poll. Oh, gosh, I just love the New York accent. I love it. I love it because it's gone. I was the guy called in from Mississippi the other day. Remember the guy who called from Mississippi and I thought there were seagulls in the background, there were chickens. But in my defense that no one knows, I've thought about this the last 3 days since it happened because I'm sure it sounded really stupid to me. I know what a chicken sounds like. It said on the call log here that he was a shipbuilder. He was a shipbuilder. So I had in my mind coast, heard a bird, thought it was a seagull. It's a chicken. Anyway, I fear we're losing accents. And I think that's really bad. I think it's really, really bad. I don't like the melting pot of accents. I think people with accents need to marry people of their own accent. I'm like accent racist or something. I'm accentist. Be like, sorry, daughter, you can't marry him. He doesn't sound like he grew up in Queens. He doesn't sound like Queens. That's why if you grow up in Queens, you can't send your daughter to a school far away because you're going to find someone who doesn't sound like that. And you can't intermarry accents anymore. And I know, I married a Southern girl. And our kids don't talk Southern because we did it wrong. We moved away. We moved to moved out of Tennessee. We moved to California. They grew up in California. They're saying dude and hang ten or what? They don't do the thing. They don't do the Southern Belle thing. So I get it. Anyway, what are we doing? Oh yeah, 10 listener poll. All right, we'll do a 10 listener poll. All right, here's what we do. Take off your partisan hat. Okay, let's put on our realist hat. All right, I started off the segment saying I'm an optimist. All right, so why not? But let's take off that hat. Let's put on the political analysis hat. Okay, you're an astute, sober, political observer. Okay, this is not wishful thinking. This is not delusion. This is not you hoping that it's going to be like 1984, where Reagan beat Mondale in 49 of the 50 states. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that happening today? Reagan only lost Mondale State of Minnesota. He would have almost won every single state. Unbelievable. So take that hat off. Take off the wacky partisan hat. Right? Put on your political observer hat. Will Donald Trump win the state of New York? Here we go. 10 listener poll. You don't have to say anything. You don't say anything at all. You don't go on the air with a 10 listener poll. You just call in. This is particularly for people who never call in. This is your opportunity to practice picking up the phone and talking to producer Bill. So you say, producer Bill, Trump will win or will not win. We take the first 10 calls. The 10 listener poll has always been right. It's always accurate, spot on, never wrong. 866-95-PATRIOT, 866-95-PATRIOT. Will Trump win New York? Now, no matter what the answer, well, I'll save that comment. Let's talk about steam fritters for a minute here. Brian is in Ohio. What's going on, Brian?
Yo, Mikey, Rasmussen rivals your polls, man.
Oh, Rasmussen's got nothing. They got nothing.
Hey, I calling in, man, real quick with I don't really have firsthand experience, but I know a lot of guys in the trades. So essentially what a steam fitter is, it's the that manly welder you were talking about yesterday. They do boilers, high pressure steam, like 900 PSI for like your boiler systems, and that's kind of how your hot water gets up to the 100th floor. You know, they got like big 12, 24 inch water inlets, humongous pumps, flow meters. And it makes its way to the, you know, to the sink every time, and then the sewage, in a sense, with gravity, makes it back down to the basement the same way. Man, pipe fitters are awesome people, dude. Awesome people,
man.
Us truck drivers.
Yeah, you can't get that wrong. You know, you can't get that piping wrong. I feel like that would go very poorly.
No, right? you can't have sewage going into your hot water and vice versa. It wouldn't work out.
The water's got to make it. Imagine if they built a building and it was a 100-story building and the water made it only to floor 83. Like, we missed it. We just did.
Not a New Yorker. I'm Ohio, Cleveland 216 all day, and Trump's going to take Ohio by at least 30 points.
Yeah, why can't everyone be like, Ohio is moving in the right direction fast?
We have our liberal areas. We got our sanctuary cities, our sanctuary counties and stuff like that. But it's almost like they don't even matter to people. You know, real people in the trades that get off their butt every day, go to work. You know, I got a sticker on my truck right now. I'm going to pick up parts. It says, don't steal my truck. It makes money to pay your way.
I like it. Brian, I'll take that same bumper sticker. I'll put it up in my studio here. Brian,
I'll
appreciate
it. See if I can find you one, man.
Yeah, do it, man. That'd be great.
Have a good one. Yep,
appreciate bye. You, brother. 866-95-PATRIOT. I think we got 10, but because we already got the 10, I don't care at all what the results are here. Like, it could be, oh, Slater, come on, don't be Slater. Like, your true analysis could be, no, he's definitely not going to win. I don't care. I'm still acting like he is. Now, sweep, that's going to be tough. California's a lost cause. They're gone. That's it for California. Don't worry about that state. But we don't need a clean sweep to win. Welcome back to Breitbart News Daily. Wonderful to talk to Ina here. I saw a video. Well, I started off here. She's a Jewish city council member in New York City who went into the belly of the beast. Saw a video the other day of a ruckus happening at the protests in Columbia. I thought, oh, what's going on? And there was a woman in the middle of this, and they were all screaming at her. And turns out she's a New York City councilwoman. So what a brave woman. Ina Vernikoff is here. Ina, how are you today?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm grateful you're here. Why did you decide to go to these, we'll call them protests, at Columbia University?
So I actually didn't go to the protest. I went to Columbia with my colleague, Councilmember Eric Dinowitz. We went to, first of all, see what is going on there for ourselves, but also to support the Jewish students, the three Jewish students that were left on the campus. I went to kind of send a message not to be afraid. That's kind of always, you know, that's always my thing. I don't believe that Jews should be afraid or intimidated. I think that we need to, you know, keep speaking out, standing up, and we can't run and hide because then we're letting the terrorists and terror sympathizers win. So I really went for that as well. When I was there, after my colleague left, I ended up stumbling upon a faculty rally, a rally organized by Columbia faculty. And I just wanted to see what they were saying. I was definitely surrounded by non-friendlies, to say the least. But when I heard from a couple of professors, I actually wanted to interrupt that rally, but the security guy who was with me did not allow it because we would not be able to get out. But after the rally, I started recording a video and talking about, you know, how hypocritical what these professors were saying are. And yes, I got mobbed, and you can't even see on the video what actually happened after, but I pretty much got mobbed by the Hamas supporters in Clifias. So that was fun.
I'm taken back by a lot here, but faculty rally. That is so unbelievable. So, and here's the one thing I would just want everyone to realize. Let's say magically they decide today, hey guys, this is actually counterproductive to our cause. We're going to stop with all this stuff. They're just going to go right back to the dorm rooms, right back to the faculty lounges, right back to the lecture halls. And like, they're all still in it. The same people. This is just being exposed for us all to see for the moment. It's been there for a long time. You know, you said there's three Jewish students left on campus. If the Columbia University website is correct, Jews make up 23% of the undergraduate student population at Columbia University. 23%. That's a major portion of this university, and almost all of them have left.
So I'll tell you, when we were on the campus, we were standing right outside the encampment. There was one Jewish student in the yarmulke who came over to us. And we kept asking, you know, where are the other Jewish students? And he said they're all at home, and I came here because I wanted to show that I'm not afraid. So we went to the Chabad and the Hillel, which is where a lot of the Jewish kids hang out. There were two students at the Hillel. There were none at the Chabad. I mean, it was before Passover, but everyone that we met with said that the Jewish kids went home. And a couple of Jewish kids that we spoke to, you know, they said everyone is at home. Most people are afraid to be here. Obviously, I don't have an exact number of Jewish kids that were on the campus or that are on the campus today. But the point is that the general consensus is that they are afraid, they're petrified. This is what the students that we did meet with say. They are absolutely petrified to walk from class to class, to be on campus. They are putting away their Stars of David. They've taken off their yarmulkes. Not all of them, but many, many of them. The same for Jewish professors. I've spoken to friends and people, constituents, people in the community who say, my friend is a professor at Columbia. She does not talk about being Jewish. She took off her Star of David. She doesn't wear any identifiably Jewish objects. If people could just think about how crazy that is in 2024 in the United States of America, and especially for someone like me who comes from the former Soviet Union, where my family has lived through this kind of anti-Semitism, honestly, it wasn't even as bad as what we're seeing on campus now. They've had to change their last names not to sound Jewish. They couldn't go to university if they were Jewish. University of Higher Learning. It was very difficult to be a doctor or a lawyer. But what we're seeing here is so blatant and insane. It gives 1938 vibes.
What's the problem? Here's one of the student organizers.
Stand on business. Zionists, they don't deserve to live comfortably, let alone Zionists don't deserve to live. The same way we're very comfortable accepting that Nazis don't deserve to live, fascists don't deserve to live, racists don't deserve to live, Zionists, they shouldn't live in this world. If we're truly in it, if we're truly...
There you go. Ina, what is a Zionist, and are you a Zionist?
I am absolutely a Zionist. I'm a proud Jew. a Zionist is someone, it doesn't have to be someone Jewish, but it's someone who believes that Israel has the right to exist and Israel is a home for the Jewish people. It is we believe in self-determination for the Jewish people. That's really all it is. We don't.
Why do you not deserve to live?
Well, according to this wonderful fella, I don't deserve to live because I am a Nazi and I am supporting a genocide. Look, these kids have been absolutely poisoned and indoctrinated with Marxism and DEI ideology. DEI completely excludes DEI. Let me just say, for those who may not know what it is, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which explicitly excludes Jews because it believes that Jews are the oppressor, colonizers, and that they are white, they have white privilege. And so if they have white privilege, they cannot be victims by definition, mm-hmm. because they are the ones that are oppressing the oppressed. And so these kids have been poisoned to believe that right now Israel is committing genocide and Israel and Jews are one and the same. And so that means that every Jew, every American Jewish student who is not a member of the Israeli government is part of that Zionist Nazi group that he needs to eliminate. And this is, it's so funny that, you know, some of my colleagues from the Progressive Caucus went down to the encampment. They went there, obviously they were welcomed because they support these lunatics. They went there and they wrote an op-ed in City and State saying how peaceful the encampments are and how everything we're saying is a lie. Well, I would actually challenge them to ask these students on camera what it is that they believe in. What is their ideology? Do they agree or disagree that Jews should be out of universities, that Zionists should deserve death, that Israel deserves death and elimination? I guarantee you, we know from the videos we've seen and from everything that we have seen ourselves and heard that this is exactly what these kids believe in. Yes, so at some point in time during the day, for 2 hours, it might be a peaceful encampment, but ask those kids what they think.
Yeah. Ina Vernikoff, a New York City councilwoman. But Ina, listen, these are just kids being kids. You know, they're young. They don't know what they're doing. They know what they're saying. They're having fun with their friends. They may be misguided, but that's all it is. And one day they'll wise up and they'll learn the error of their ways. But in the meantime, just let them kind of do their goofy little protesting thing and feel good about themselves.
I mean, I think that's exactly what these weak leaders of the universities believe. I think that's totally a part of it. And the other side is, when I was at this rally, they were all advocating for free speech and academic freedom and against the NYPD so-called raids. And they completely shifted the narrative. They've created this false narrative that the university is taking away academic freedom when these kids are getting arrested. No, these kids are getting arrested because they're violating the code of conduct of the university, because they are yelling and screaming Intifada. They are chanting to kill the Jews, death to the Jews, Jews out of university. Is that really the academic freedom that they are advocating for? And not one of these professors, there were about 8 of them who spoke and about, I would say, 80 of them standing on the steps.
Amazing.
Not one of these professors who, by the way, take part in these rallies and who some of them believe in the lunacy that these kids are spreading and chanting, not one of them mentioned that the university on that day, a couple of days ago, was completely what we call Judenrein, which is free of Jews. Not one of them mentioned the harassment and bullying against their Jewish students and how unacceptable that is. Not one professor.
But freedom of speech, Ina.
Well, freedom of speech does not allow for them on a private university, by the way, to yell death to the Jews and to support Hamas. especially in a private university, because the private universities do not have to, and I'm not a First Amendment scholar, but private universities do not have to abide by free speech. They can make regulations that are much stricter. If five Ku Klux Klan members in white hoods walked in there today and started yelling blacks out of Columbia University, how long do you think they would last?
Yeah. Yeah. 5 seconds. We should, someone should almost try it. Someone just go ahead and try it and see what these exact same people will, how they will exactly respond. I love this. This is from the Dean of Columbia to alumni and parents. Without question, Ina, there have been unacceptable instances of intimidating and harassing behavior on our campus. So, Ina, they're throwing you a bone, right? Here's a little bit like, hey, listen, we admit, sure, you can pick out a couple things here and there, Ina. It's been unacceptable, okay? Let me state emphatically, the Dean of Columbia says, let me state emphatically that anti-Semitic or Islamophobic rhetoric has no place in our community. See, there's a lot of Islamophobia going on, Ina, on these campuses, and I want to come out against the Islamophobia. Did you see any Islamophobia when you were there?
These people are so afraid of the bad guys. They are way more afraid of the bad guy than they are of the good guy, and that is the problem. And that's why they keep pandering, and that's why they can never. And by the way, this is also in public schools. It's the same exact crap. They can never make a statement against anti-Semitism, condemning anti-Semitism, without including Islamophobia. Yeah. But the question is, which kids are afraid to walk in public school? Which kids are afraid to walk on a university campus wearing a yarmulke, wearing a Star of David? Is it the Muslim kids who are afraid to show their identity, their Muslim identity, or is it the Jewish kids? When I was at Columbia, every third student was wearing a kufiyeh. I have nothing against the kufiyeh, but they're not afraid to wear their kufiyehs. They are proudly walking around in it. There aren't many Jewish students walking around in yarmulkes and Stars of David right now.
Nope.
So there might be some instances, I'm not going to deny, there might be some instances of Islamophobia here and there, sure, but there's a 400% rise in anti-Semitism right now, and the kids that are being bullied are the Jewish kids, not the Muslim kids. Do you see any Jewish kids yelling Muslims or Arabs or Palestinians out of university? Do you see any Jewish kids threatening the Muslim pro-Palestinian kids?
You mentioned how all these schools are so afraid of offending. USC, University of Southern California, just canceled their graduation. There's usually 65,000 people come on campus for the whole graduation. They shut it down because of fear of the, well, not, it's a fear of, like, it would have, like, these pro-Hamas people will disrupt the whole, they canceled the whole thing. And the valedictorians, I think I have it here. The valedictorian said, here it is. She said, this move is a result of an anti-Muslim and anti-Palestinian campaign of racist hatred. No. They shut it down because of you. Like, you people were going to disrupt and destroy the thing. So they had to preemptively cancel it. But how about that disruption, to say the least?
Yeah, I mean, it's the easy way out, right? They don't want to offend these people. They don't want to arrest them. So the easy way out is to cancel and shut it down instead of providing protection to the Jewish students. I mean, look what happened to the professor who wanted to teach at Columbia and just wanted to go onto campus grounds where he's allowed to be, where he's invited because he works at Columbia. And they blocked him, prevented him from getting onto campus grounds. They revoked his ID, and he wasn't allowed on. A Jewish professor, who is basically the loudest pro-Israel, pro-Jewish voice on the campus right now. But all the Hamas supporters and the supposedly suspended professors who glorify October 7th, they're roaming around campus freely. They're chilling in the encampment. Linda Sarsour is hanging out in Columbia. this guy, this student that you, whose voice you played earlier, who is saying that Zionists don't deserve to live, he's a Columbia student. Those people are allowed on campus, but the one Jewish professor who is a staunch critic of what Columbia University is doing, him they block.
You know, why? We talked with one of your conservative colleagues the other day, Vicky Palladino. Why, if Jews are about 13% in New York City, why do so many Jewish people vote for Democrats?
You'd have to ask those Jewish people who vote for Democrats. I don't understand it. And honestly, I do think that's changing. I talk to a lot of Democrats. My district is 2-1 Democrat. Wow. And they, a lot of Jewish Democrats have been telling me that this has become, they have become single issue voters. And I don't think they're going to, they still have a problem voting for someone like President Trump. But I think it's really changing for them. I even think some of the progressive Jews are either not going to vote at all, or they're just, they're going to vote Republican. Because they see the hypocrisy in this party. And quite frankly, I have to say, shame on the highest ranking Jewish Democrats in Congress, like Nadler and Schumer. They have been absolutely quiet and completely absent on this issue. They haven't showed up. They barely made any statements. They barely said anything. They barely criticized anyone. They haven't demanded anything. Such a shame. And President Biden is totally pandering to his lefty constituency because of one state, Michigan. Hmm. He's afraid to lose Michigan. You saw the 100,000 uncommitted voters in the primary, and he is so petrified of losing Michigan. So he's pandering to all these people just to make sure he could win an election. Everybody should take notice of that.
Yeah, it was Mike Johnson who spoke on campus the other day. Not Schumer. Ina Vernikoff, New York City Councilwoman. Ina, thank you. Thank you for speaking here. Thank you for speaking out. Thank you for going to campus, and stay safe.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Shalom. Ina Vernikoff.
I'm American made.
Welcome back to Breitbart News Daily. The other day, I'm praising Arizona for staying strong on their abortion law. And like an hour later, they voted, I think, for the third time, and they repealed it. So we're going to talk to one of the top Republicans in Arizona about what happened and why they did that and what's next for them. That's on Monday's show at 8:30. Mike Slater, Breitbart News Daily. Spread the word.